Good morning. Open your Bibles to 2 John as we continue in our verse-by-verse exposition of the book of 2 John. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers. Hope it's a good day for you. Usually we're the ones that have to go buy dinner because, you know, it's Father's Day, right? 2 John. We left off last week. We will commence with verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive them not into your house, neither bid them Godspeed. He that bids them Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you that it's alive and powerful, inerrant, immutable, infallible, indelible word of God that stands forever. And so, Lord, as we come this morning, we ask you to speak to us through your word, to do that work that only the Holy Spirit can do through the word, convict of sin, convince of the truth, draw the unsaved to yourself, give them the gift of faith to believe. For those of us who know you, may each of us as believers be edified, built up in the faith, better equipped to serve you and to leave and to go into this world to be a light for the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we worship you in spirit and in truth through your word. Attend to every word. Any fruit, Lord, we give you the glory and the praise, for you alone can bring forth spiritual fruit. So the glory and the praise is yours. Thank you, Father. May we hear and may we obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember how this book consists of 2 John. It's a book, the smallest book in the Bible, one that is ignored. I don't think I've ever heard a sermon on 2 John, but it's a great little book. It has its importance and its significance. Remember, the first three verses are the introduction. That's verses 1 to 3. The last verses, 12 and 13, are the conclusion. In between, we have the doctrine. And the first few verses of doctrine, that is verses 4 to 6, is good news. I found of your children walking in the truth. Now, the second portion of doctrine for verse 7, all the way down to verse 11, 7:11, is warning. He's warning us. Deceivers have gone out in the world in verse 7. Then he says, look to yourselves, we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. So he's warning us that we need to receive a full reward. And so these verses are verses that are warning to the church. He wants to warn or correct. First, there's been good news. Your children are walking in the truth. They're walking in love, even as we've received the commandment. Then he warns of the deceivers who have come into the church. Deceivers who follow Satan. That's their Lord. For we're told in Revelation that the great dragon, that old serpent who is the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, was cast down to the earth and his angels with him, Revelation 12:9. I fear lest by any means, as the serpent deceived Eve through his subtlety, so your heart should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 11:3. So beware, be concerned, be on guard. As a church, as individuals, as believers, we need to be discerning. We need to be concerned about the truth. Contend for the faith. Stand for the faith, as Jude said. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. They're deceivers. They're seeking to corrupt the truth of the gospel. They're seeking to corrupt true doctrine. They're not truth tellers, but they're truth twisters. They twist the truth. They try to add to it. They try to subtract from it. And as a result, they are deceivers, seeking to draw disciples away after themselves. And so we come to verse 8. He says, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things. Now, we see the word we there three times. that pronoun could also be translated, and that's the King James Version where it says, look to yourselves, we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. So it would imply that John is saying, I want to receive a full reward for the work that I have done among you, and of course that's true. But these could also be translated, and I think a better translation is, look to yourselves that you lose not those things which we have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. He's concerned about rewards here. He wants them to receive rewards. Now, we don't often speak much about rewards. We talk about grace a lot. And salvation is by grace. For by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Galatians 2:16. Salvation is always present tense. Salvation is by faith, by grace. It's not by works. However, works, on the other hand, rewards are predicated on works. Rewards are the result of works. Rewards are never in the present tense, they're always in the future tense. And so that's what he's concerned about here in the text this morning, is not salvation. These are salvation. These people are saved. He's writing to the elect lady, the lady who is saved, the lady whose children are walking in the truth. And so he's writing to believers, and he's writing here regarding rewards. Salvation, present tense, always by grace. Rewards, on the other hand, are by works and always future tense. And he wants us to know that there are rewards for serving Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing that we can do nothing apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, that only God can bring forth fruit, and only God can build His church, and it's all predicated on the power and person of the Holy Spirit and the work of God and His alone. But He chooses to use us as His instruments. And when He does, He rewards us for the things that we do. That's amazing, even though He's the one that does all the work, even though He's the one that deserves and should have and shall have all the credit and reward, for it is God doing the work, but God uses us and allows us to have reward. Rewards are throughout the New Testament, and we'll look at some of them. He says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew 5:11-12. He says, great is your reward. When you live for Jesus Christ, the world's not going to embrace you. They're not going to pat you on the back and say, well done. We're playing away from home. Our home is in heaven. We're not the home team here. This is the world that is against God. This is the world that Satan rules. This is the world that he has usurped, that wicked one. And so the world does not applaud. The world is going to oppose us. The world is going to reject us. The world will mock us, ridicule us. Indeed, many today are being persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ, their stand for the gospel. Many are in prison, and many are being beheaded, and many are being put to death for standing for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what did Jesus say? Don't be discouraged. Don't let it get to you. Don't let it bother you so much when they reject you to go to get a cup of coffee and they walk away, or they don't have conversation with you, or they snicker and laugh behind your back. Great is your reward in heaven. You're salt in this world and you sting. You're light in a dark world and you bring the light of the gospel and the bugs run away from the light. They just can't stand the light. So rejoice. Be great. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven. Where? In heaven, not here. There are those who will preach this morning around the world, you're going to get it now. This is going to be great. Everything's going to be wonderful. You're going to be healthy. You're going to be wealthy. You're going to have all that you want because you've come to Christ, and in Christ you have all things. No, the reward is not now. Biblically, the reward is later. The reward is in heaven. And then regarding prayer, he says, unlike the Pharisees who pray publicly and look for being applauded and want to be known as people of great prayer, want to be known as men who are spiritual, so they make a great show of their prayer, praying publicly on the street corner, praying that all might see and hear that they're a person of prayer. But Jesus said this, but you, believer, when you pray, Enter into your closet. When you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret shall reward you openly. Matthew 6:6. Did you hear that? He'll reward you openly. What's your prayer life like? I don't know. Only you know what your prayer life is like. Do you have every day a time of prayer? How much time do you spend in prayer? God's going to reward you openly for the prayers that you pray. There's a reward for praying. Isn't that amazing? We need God. We come to God. We bring Him our burdens. We bring Him our cares. We bring Him our concerns, our heartaches, our aches, our pains. We bring Him everything, and we bring Him, we lay Him at His feet, and we come to Him. We need Him in prayer. And yet God says, I'll reward you for your prayer. Amazing. And He says this, maybe these things don't line up for you particularly, don't hit home. But listen to this. He said, whoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. How would you like to have the prophet of Isaiah? How would you like to have his reward? The prophet Isaiah? The reward of Jeremiah? He says, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. And whoever shall receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever shall give a drink to one of these little ones, children, a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, truly I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Matthew 10, 41 to 42. Just giving a cup of water, not in the name of Jesus, but in the name of a disciple. He said, truly, you shall in no wise lose your reward. Can you give a drink of water to someone? There's a reward. Can you serve someone? Can you pray? There's a reward. Can you receive someone? Hospitality, bringing a missionary into your home and giving him a bed to sleep in and not putting him on a cot out in the porch. Or where the dog sleeps. I mean, I hear stories from missionaries that come and stay with people. You know, they put them where the dog sleeps. It's smelly. There's hair. There's fleas. They put them in somewhere where there's no air conditioning. They don't feed them well. They don't make them feel welcome. Just like, okay, here you go. No, wake up. If you give, if you receive a prophet, a missionary, an evangelist, a preacher who preaches the truth of God, and you receive them into your home and you give them hospitality, God said there's a reward for you in heaven. Jesus said, everyone who has forsaken houses, brother or sister, father or mother, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit eternal life. Matthew 19:29. Now, some have twisted the scripture and they say, well, give me 1,000 and God will give you 100,000. It'll come back to you 100-fold. No, remember, rewards are future tense. He says, shall, future tense, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit eternal life. So when we forsake things, when we put Jesus Christ above family even, above possessions, houses, and lands, when we put Him first, when we serve Him, we seek Him first in the kingdom of God, His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you, Matthew 6:33. When we do that, God rewards us. Do you want rewards? I know I do. There's nothing wrong with working for rewards. This is motivation. This is motivation to serve God because God rewards His people. Yes, He does the work through the power of the Holy Spirit. He enables us to serve Him. He enables us to do so, and He makes our work effectual through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's not done in the flesh. If it is, it's wood, hay, and stubble. But even though He's doing the work through us and we submit ourselves to Him and we make ourselves useful, just a cup of water, a prayer, forsaking things to put Him first, if we do, He rewards you. Now think how much people will give up in order to attain wealth in this world. But when you die, it's all here. People are willing to sacrifice their time, their talent, their health, give everything they have to work all the hours they can work. And do all that they can do with constant pressure and stress 7 days a week just to gain a little more, a little more, a little more. My accountant told me one time about a man who had millions and millions, probably 100 million in the bank. And he was taking pills every day for his heart. And he was still working 7 days a week, you know, 20 hours a day, stress. Why do you do this? He said, well, you know, I need to get a little more. You know, I don't have enough yet. And that's the way it is. It's never enough. But if people are willing to strive, and we're willing to work so hard, and if we're willing to work so diligently, and give all that we've got, even sacrificing time with family and time that we should be spending with God in order to attain the things of this world, how much more should we strive for the gospel of Jesus Christ, to serve God? And you think this is a reward here for your work and your labor? There is. And by the way, I'm not denigrating hard work and discipline. For we're commanded, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, Colossians 3:23. We're to work and be excellent in our work, but we're to work for Jesus Christ. There is a reward. And this reward doesn't just last till you take your last breath and they bury you and you leave all your possessions here. The reward of God is forever and ever and ever. It is eternal reward. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, Hebrews 11:6. If we diligently seek Him, He says, I'll reward you. I'll reward you with my presence. I'll reward you in heaven. If you diligently seek Him, how do you seek Him? You seek Him through His word and through prayer and through coming together in fellowship and in public worship. We seek God. And when we do, He says there's a reward. Remember, one of the greatest examples in history was Moses. Moses there with Pharaoh, being called a son of Pharaoh. All the power of Pharaoh, because he was in the family of Pharaoh. All the wealth of Pharaoh. All the things and accoutrements and comforts that went with being in the family of the king. Pharaoh, the most powerful man on earth at the time. And Moses, we're told him of this, of his character. He esteemed the reproach of Christ of greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Why? For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, Hebrews 11:26. He said, the reward of heaven is worth sacrificing everything here. Yes, here I have all the comforts of mankind. Here I have all the wealth, the gold, the silver, the servants, the finest food. I have a life of ease, a life of luxury. I am a son of the king, a son of Pharaoh. But I forsake it all for Jesus. I forsake it all because that reward is eternal. This is just temporal. That reward is forever. And so we need to realize that the things we do for God, the sacrifices we make, they're not just worth it. They are so worth it. It is so worth it to sacrifice our time, to give our time to Him, to serving Him, to sacrifice our abilities and talents to serving Him. Because the reward in heaven is forever and ever. And there is rewards. It is the promise of Scripture. Paul, he just gave it all for God, didn't he? He did everything that he possibly could to promote the gospel. He suffered so much. He gave up so much. And he was stoned, he was beaten, he was imprisoned. They left him for dead before. He was shipwrecked. He was rejected, despised, and persecuted. But Paul never quit. Paul had his eye on the prize. Paul was looking forward to that future reward. And I know sometimes the world mocks us and says, oh, you Christians, payday someday. Yeah, it is payday someday. And that payday is forever and ever and ever. Know you not that they who run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it that they may obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So run I not as uncertainly. So fight I not as one that beats the air. But I keep under my body, bring it in subjection, lest by any means, having preached the gospel to others, I myself should be a castaway. 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27. The Apostle Paul used the analogy of a race, someone who was running the race, someone who wanted to win. We look at Olympic winners and we see that for years and years, for decades perhaps, they will sacrifice eating the stuff that you and I eat. They will eat only the good stuff, only the things that will make them healthier and stronger and build muscle and take fat away. They sacrifice. They want to taste just like, but they won't. They discipline themselves. They run mile after mile. And they give it all they've got and they say, one more mile, one more mile, one more mile. I'll be a little stronger. I'll be a little faster. My wind will be greater. Or the weightlifter, I'll do one more rep and his arms are shaking. One more rep and I might grow a little stronger, be a little stronger. And they give everything. They discipline themselves to win the prize. And Paul uses that analogy. He said, so run. Not that you just might be in the race. Yeah, so many are happy to say, I take Jesus to be my Savior. Oh, thank you, Lord, for delivering me from hell. Thank you for saving me from hell that I might be in heaven forever and then do nothing for God. Christian, get off your butt. Get up and get in the race. Run for God. Strive for God. Give it all you've got to win, the prize, to get the reward. There is reward. But you've got to run. You've got to be disciplined. You've got to be committed. You've got to go. You can't just sit on the premises and stand on the promises. You've got to go. You've got to serve God. Paul said, I don't just shadow box. He said, no, I'm fighting to throw the punch to knock him out. I want to win. I'm going to cross the finish line a winner. I want the prize of God, and I will settle for nothing else. Will you? Will you settle for second best? Will you settle for just win, place, or show? You're just happy you showed up? You wouldn't accept that in athletics. You wouldn't accept that in the business community. No, we want to win. We want to do our very best. We want to achieve and accomplish. But why do we take such a lackadaisical attitude to serving God? But we do. Do you want reward in heaven, or do you want to enter empty-handed? Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he has built upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. 1 Corinthians 3:13-15. You can appear to do work for God. You can appear to be at church every time the doors are open. You can appear to be doing this and doing that, serving God. And in reality, you just want the applause of men. You just want to be seen. You just want to do something. You feel good because you're teaching a Sunday school class. You can say you're doing that, but you're not doing it for God. You're not serving God. You're just doing it in the flesh. And when they're tried by fire at the judgment seat of Christ, their wood hand just burned up. They're nothing. And you suffer loss. But he says, you can't lose your salvation, by the way, because he said, yet he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Your salvation is secure. We're not talking salvation. Remember, salvation is by grace. Rewards is by works. Salvation is present tense. Works are future tense. They're coming. Keep serving God. Don't quit. Don't stop. How tragic. We see it all the time. People go through life, and all of a sudden, 40 years of marriage, trade her in for a new model. It doesn't just happen to laymen. It happens to pastors, missionaries, evangelists. How tragic to run the race and to go so far in life and then quit and then lay it down. How often you hear of people, even in the ministry, who suddenly decide, that's not right. I quit. If you quit, it turns into wood, hay, and stubble. Paul said, he that plants and he that waters are one. But every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. 1 Corinthians 3:8. Did you get that? Every man, every woman, every child, every boy or girl, you'll receive your own reward. This is highly personal. Intensely personal. You'll receive your own reward according to your own labor. Are you laboring for the master? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. There is a reward. He says, an incorruptible crown. It's a crown that never fails. This is a crown that endures forever and ever and ever. This incorruptible crown. In the Isthmus Games, back in the times of the Apostle Paul in Rome, if they won their race, they would receive a crown. It was a crown made of leaves. It would last about 3 days before the leaves would fall off and the crown wouldn't be much good anymore. But Paul said, as believers, we can receive an incorruptible crown. That is a crown that endures forever and ever and ever. But you must earn it. You cannot earn salvation, but you can earn rewards. You can earn the incorruptible crown. And then the Apostle Paul, writing to Thessalonians, the church of Thessalonica, He said a similar thing. He said, for what is our hope? What is our joy? Are not even you our joy, our crown of rejoicing in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that is appearing, 1 Thessalonians 2:19. There's a crown that's incorruptible. There's a crown, the second crown, the crown of rejoicing. The crown of rejoicing. Will you have that crown? It could be called the soul winner's crown. It's been called that before. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. Proverbs 11:30. The soul winner's crown, because he said to the church of Thessalonica, are not even you my crown of rejoicing in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his appearing? How many people have you led to Christ? How many people have you given the gospel to? And they've prayed to receive Christ as their Savior. They've repented of their sins. Jesus, or Paul said to the people of Thessalonica, you're my crown of rejoicing. The apostle Paul also said to Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8. There's a crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness because he's made us righteous by faith in him. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. We might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He imputes his righteousness to us. But if we live a righteous life, and then we'll be looking for his coming. People who are asleep. People who are laying down on the job. People who are rocking chair Christians. They're just sitting there rocking and, you know, everything's fine. The world goes, I'm saved. That's fine. There is rewards. And the crown of righteousness are for those looking for his return. There's a crown of righteousness for those, because if you're living righteous, you long for him to come. But if you're just sitting there doing nothing, if you're living like the world, but claiming to be a Christian, you don't long for him to come. You're not waiting for him to come, anticipating his coming. You're a little bit dreading it because you're doing nothing for God. And so there's a crown of righteousness. And then James says, blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he has tried, he received the crown of life, which God has promised to them that love him, James 1:12. The crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, the incorruptible crown, the crown of life. The crown of life is given to those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, to those who put their faith and trust in him, the crown of life. To those who endure the rigors of this world, those who endure the persecution of this world and stand fast for God and go for God and continue to serve him and to take the gospel forward and to move the ball forward, there's a crown of life. And finally, the fifth crown. Peter, writing, tells us this. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall appear, then shall we receive a crown of glory that fades not away. 1 Peter 5:4. A crown of glory. A crown of glory. When Jesus shall appear, for those who are serving him, for those who are looking for his coming, for those who are living a righteous life, for those who are working for God. Five crowns. The crown of incorruptibility, the crown of righteousness, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of life, the crown of glory. I wonder, will there be any five-crown Christians in heaven? The Christians often talk, will there be any stars in my crown? Well, I don't know, you're going to have a crown. Because many are going to be saved so as by fire. Their works shall be burned up. They're going to suffer loss. But first you have to have some works. How about you? Do you have any works? Are you working for God or for the things of this life? God's called us to serve him. We're saved to serve, not saved to sit. We're called, and each of us has some talent, some ability that God's given us at the moment of rebirth, a spiritual gift. Do you know what that gift is? If you don't, find out what it is and put it to work for God. There's a reward for you. Do you hear me? There's rewards in heaven. We don't often talk about it, but God will reward us for serving him, for walking with him, for giving our life in his service. Whatever your a calling, an ability may be, even as small as giving someone a cup of water in the name of Jesus or receiving them into your home, if that's all you can do, do it for God. Do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Do it in the power and person of the Holy Spirit. There is spiritual reward that lasts forever. There's crowns in heaven. Strive for the mastery. Strive for the crown. Strive for the rewards that God has offered. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and of worshiping angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, Colossians 2:18. People can beguile you of your reward by leading you astray into false doctrine, by turning you aside from serving God. And Jesus said himself, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which you have, that no man take your crown." Revelation 3:11. See, you can lose rewards. You can lose your crowns. How? By not following through, by not being faithful, by laying down and quitting. Don't be a quitter. Don't be a starter and not a finisher. Cross the finish line strong for God. Serving Him, loving Him, using those skills, those talents, those abilities that He has uniquely gifted you with, and you have them, by the way, every one of you. You have unique talents, gifts, and abilities that God has given you to serve Him, to glorify Him, and there's rewards if you do. Don't lay down. Don't be a rocking chair Christian. Get to work for Jesus. Time is short. Remember, He said, "Behold, I come quickly." He's coming. He could come today. Prophetic fulfillment is all around us. We see things coming to fruition. He is coming. And will He find us looking for His and longing for His coming, or afraid that He comes and finds we've done nothing for the Master? Mark said, speaking of the ground and the soil and the parable of the sower and the seed, and Mark said, "That which fell on good ground did bear fruit, and sprung forth and increased, and brought forth some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Mark 4:8. So what's your life going to be like? You determine that. You determine that. You determine that. Will it be one of great fruitfulness for God? Or will it be one of, "Oh, well, I'm saved, and now I'm going to go after everything I can in this world"? Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. I want to bring forth fruit 1,000-fold. I want to do all I can do for God. I know I fail. I know I'm not what I should be. But that's my desire. That's my longing. Oh, God, give me fruit. Much fruit for your glory. And fruit that remains for your glory. God, use me. That's my prayer daily. Use me. I cry out like the prophet Isaiah and I say, "Hanani, Lord, here am I. Send me." Do you? You have family. You have neighbors. You have co-workers. There's people you can tell the wonderful news of the gospel, that there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ, that there is new life, that you can go to heaven, that you can have mercy, that you can have grace, and it's in Jesus Christ. You can do that. Do you do it? You can hand them a tract if you can't talk, or you can leave it on the table if you can't talk. We need to be busy for God. There's a soul winner's crown, too, those who are taking the gospel. How many crowns will you have in heaven, believer? Will you be glad when Jesus comes and say, "Well, man, I've been laboring so long and so hard, Lord, I'm just sweating. I've given all I got. I'm just wore out for you, Lord. Oh, thank God you've come." Or you say, "Oh, hide and cower in a corner. Oh, no. He came and I've done nothing. He came and I haven't served Him. He came and I never bore fruit. I haven't been a good tree." The decision is yours. Every man, woman, and child will make their own decision. Will you live for Jesus? Will you serve God? Will you bring forth fruit for God? Or will you be satisfied with just salvation? Now, that's a lot. That's everything. But we want rewards. We want those crowns. And they're available for every believer. They're not limited to pastors or preachers. They're not limited to missionaries or evangelists. Every person's on even ground. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold, according to your ability. And then whatever you've done according to your ability, then if you've done it in the power of the Holy Spirit and the person of God for spiritual reasons to glorify God, we could hear this: "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord, Matthew 25:21. Well done. Well done. What will you hear on judgment day? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body, according that he has done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10. We're going to answer. You know, even for the believer, the judgment seat is not going to be judgment of salvation, but a judgment of our works, and it's not going to be any picnic. Because some are going to suffer terrible loss. Some are going to lose 90% of what they did for God. Some are going to lose 100%, I suppose. Some are going to lose 50%, 30%. You know, we need to serve the Lord, but in His person, in the power of the Holy Spirit. It was spiritual power, with spiritual determination. It is spiritual work, not physical work. But it may be physical work being done spiritually. Some people say they're too light for heavy work and too heavy for light work. They're just good for nothing. What are you? Take heed to yourselves and unto the doctrine which you have learned. Take heed. Look to yourselves and hold on and live for God and serve Him. That's what He's called us to do, believer. There's 5 crowns. There's rewards in heaven. And as the one speaking to you this morning, it's my heart's desire. It is my burden. I love you. I want to see each of you in heaven stand before God and hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to see each of you there in heaven with crowns, 5 of them. Be a 5-star general in heaven. But the determination is up to you. Will you pay the price? Will you make the sacrifice? Will you live for God? And then let's see what we'll do with those crowns. Turn with me in conclusion at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Verse 10 and 11. Revelation 4:10. And the 24 elders fell down before Him that sat on the throne, that is, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. So the 24 elders fell down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things and for your pleasure they are and were created. We're going to take those crowns and we're going to cast them at the feet of Jesus. Because remember, it's really only in His power that anything of spiritual significance, of eternal value, transpires. It's only in His power, not in our abilities, but the supernatural abilities He gives us in the Holy Spirit as we sincerely seek to serve Him. And so all the crowns belong to Him because He's the one doing the work through us and by us and using us and giving us that privilege. And the crown shall be cast at His feet. Will you have a crown to cast at the Master's feet? For we are not of some that corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak with Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:17. We're not corrupting the word. We teach, we preach, we live the word of God. And there's a reward for that. And I pray that each of you receive many rewards. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, its power, its authority. We thank you that it does discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Lord, it could be that everyone here is serving you fervently and are doing all they can do for you, though I doubt it. But Father, none of us really are. And so it could be we need to do business with you this morning. If we're laying down on the job, if we become distracted by the world, the flesh, and the devil, if we are not fervently in your service, your doulos, your faithful servants, Father, forgive us. Cleanse us. For the Lord Jesus Christ served us by dying on a cross and giving all that He had and leaving the throne of heaven and becoming a man. Suffering on that cross, His blood was shed. He gave everything. He gave it all. And so, Father, I would ask that in our heart of hearts, as we contemplate our lives, how we're living, what we're doing, how we're spending our time, how we're using our talents, our abilities, Father, may we take inventory, and then may we repent for not having served you, not having loved you enough to serve you in a sacrificial manner. For Lord, we thank you that you're coming soon. Maybe before we leave this service, there's no time to waste. There's no time to dilly-dally. We must be about your business, for the Master comes. And so, Father, I pray that each of us would have the five crowns in heaven. Each of us would see great reward in heaven and much fruit because we've faithfully served you. May that be so of every believer here and everyone that hears my voice. Or, Lord, if there's one without Christ, they can receive no reward because they're not even saved. They're going to hell. And so, Father, I pray for those unbelievers who may hear this, draw them to yourself, convict them of their sin, the truth of the gospel. May they come to Jesus and begin to live for eternal values, not temporal. Thank you, Father. As we leave this place, may we leave to serve you, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Forever and ever, now in him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.